This is The Rich Eisen Show.
What was it called?
The Rich Eisen Show with guest host Kirk Morrison.
Boy, I do actually have a little bit of breaking news. The Bengals have rewarded
Wait, hold on.
Here it comes.
And my eyes see.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. Did we have a drop for this?
Well, yeah, we did.
The Bengals have rewarded a member of that 2021 draft class. Cincinnati Bengals have rewarded not their first round pick, Jamar Chase.
Ah, dang it.
Kicker Evan McPherson.
Hey, he's good.
Evan McPherson now, $16 million contract. Their fifth round pick. So the fifth round pick actually gets a contract, a $16.6 million extension. So congrats to Evan McPherson. So there is a Bengal of the 2021 draft class that did get an extension.
I mean, he is one of the sickest kickers.
Yeah,
in the
he
NFL,
is pretty good.
So.
I know a lot of Bengals fans were hoping that their first round pick of the 2021 NFL draft would be getting the contract extension.
Right.
It has not happened yet, so he's still part of the hold in process. And I like this hold in. You know, we talked to Andrew Brent yesterday on the show, and we had never heard the whole 3 or 4 years.
Yep.
The hold out was like, and I've been around this before. I've witnessed holdouts.
Who held out when you were playing with the Raiders?
Our first round overall draft choice back in 2007 didn't come to camp. But this was when the rookie wage scale was not in effect.
There was no wage scale. So he was literally holding out for the biggest contract in NFL history.
At the time, right? This was the quarterback, Jamarcus Russell, waited for that. So he held out. And it was one of those situations where you're the head coach at the time was Lane Kiffin. And he says, I can only talk about the guys who are here. And that was sort of the message to everybody that was in training camp. If a guy's not there, you can't talk about him, nor do you actually see him around. So it doesn't really matter. Like, he's not there. So you just move on, go about your day, control what you can control, and you move on. That's the hold out. The hold in is different. The hold in is actually seeing that guy every single day at practice, at the training table, in the training room, at the weight room, and he's not doing anything.
just there.
He's just there.
Oh, God.
You see him in a team meeting, and then all of a sudden, you start to think about it. He's withholding services while being there. That is a bad message to your younger players. Bad message to guys on your actual team who are looking to get contracts as well. How do you handle it? Because you have to be, I guess, maybe what, stern, because you don't want everyone to feel like, hey, well, I'm going to hold in next year because I want my money. So do the teams cave in? In the New England Patriots situation, they just said, you know what? Let's just trade Matthew Judon. We coach in Gerard Mayo. I don't want a guy holding in. You know what? I'm going to let's go ahead and just move him. So are the hold-ins working? Are they not working? We shall see. CeeDee Lamb is not holding in. He's not at camp. He's just not there. So the Cowboys have to figure this out just as much as all these other teams have to figure out the hold-in. That's why I keep asking, what is more likely? What is more likely? Are you ready, Brockman? I'm ready for what's more likely, everybody.
Bring it. Let's go.
What?
What's more likely?
Never say never, but never.
All right. Drama. Let's go. First off, happy Friday. What's up, everybody? You good?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right. Mikey, what are you doing this weekend?
Working.
Whack.
Working.
Come on.
On the boat?
No.
All right, Kirk.
Dodgers, yeah.
Case, it's been a while since you played What's More Likely. Here's the deal. I give you one or two options. You have to pick which one's what's more likely.
Okay.
Seems easy, right?
Seems easy.
And Rich screws it up every week. All right. This has a lot to do with the matchups of week two in the preseason, okay? So think about it in that terms.
I love
Who's more likely to make it back to championship weekend this year? They're playing each other. Lions or Chiefs? Who's more likely to be a Final Four team in 2024, Lions or Chiefs?
I'm going to go with the Chiefs.
Way to go out on a limb there, Kirk.
I got to go. I mean, I don't want to give you the hot take and say, oh, it's the Detroit Lions, but I look at the Detroit Lions division as much better. Think about it. The NFC North isn't the same NFC North.
No, NFC Let's North be real. Is all four teams.
Jordan Love has the youngest team right now currently in the NFL, the Packers, and yet they played so much above their age last year. I think they'll be better again this year. Minnesota, we can't look past them. Sam Darnold takes over at the quarterback position with J.J. McCarthy out for the year. I want to see Sam Darnold and maybe his last chance as a starter in the National Football League. And then you got the Chicago Bears. Chicago, we've been talking Bears throughout this program, and Caleb Williams, this outstanding defense, Rome Odunze, Keenan Allen, DeAndre Swift. I mean, there's dudes now. So I'm going to go with the Chiefs, and it's not me not going out on the limb. I don't even believe that the Detroit Lions win their division. That's how strong I feel about this.
I love that. It's hot, and I love it. So you're all in on the Chiefs.
I'm all in on it. Well, think about their division, right? The Raiders haven't picked their starter at the quarterback. Justin Herbert just got out of a boot. And we don't know Stidham or Bo Nix, right? That's just too much uncertainty. The easiest path to the playoff is winning your division. It's what the Chiefs have done. I believe I saw this right now currently. They have not had a losing season in 9 years. Which is the NFL? They lead the NFL in that category by the way.
Right now.
Longest streak.
They went 11-6 last year. You're going higher or lower on 11-6 for the Chiefs?
I would say 12 would be my bench for them. So I'll take the over 11.
All right. Next up, we got Vikings. We got Browns this weekend, preseason week two.
What's
more
likely?
Who's the quarterback you're more likely to have the most faith in this season? Sam Darnold or Deshaun Watson?
That's a good one. Wow, you got me on that one.
Because I want you to say Sam Darnold.
Wow, I never have thought. That's a good question, Brockman.
I know, it's tough.
Oh, this
Deshaun
is tough.
Watson hasn't looked right in 4 years.
Has not looked right.
Sam Darnold, has he ever looked right? I mean, he hasn't really lived. Obviously, he hasn't lived up to the third overall pick.
What's more likely?
Last chance hotel.
Yeah.
Sam Darnold.
I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to say Deshaun Watson. You would want to lean Sam Darnold, but I believe Deshaun Watson did have those flashes last year before he was injured for the season. I really believe that the added pieces, they added Jerry Jeudy, saw a nice little throw yesterday at practice versus the Vikings in their joint practice.
Yep.
I feel like we're discrediting the Coach of the Year, two-time Coach of the Year, by the way, Kevin Stefanski, the way that he runs his offense. I think that we'll see a much better Deshaun Watson, that I have a trust and a belief that if he's healthy, which he was not healthy last year, I think that he's healthy and his coach won't let him go astray. I think his coach gets him back on track. I've got faith in Deshaun Watson this year, but the crazy part is, having faith in Deshaun Watson in the toughest division in the National Football League, where 9-8 gets you fourth place, we could have all the faith in Deshaun Watson, and they can go 8-9, which could be great for that division. So yes, I still have more faith in Deshaun Watson than Sam Darnold because I'm still not so far removed from when Sam Darnold saw ghosts. Remember with the Jets. Like, what are you seeing? I'm seeing ghosts. He was seeing things that wasn't there. Like, that's still on his resume for me.
Mikey, you looking for it?
Seeing ghosts.
Browns were better with Joe Flacco last year. Just saying. All right. Bills and Steelers this weekend. What's more likely? Josh Allen finishes in the top three in the MVP voting, or Russell Wilson and Justin Fields combine for more yards and touchdowns than Josh Allen?
Oh, Josh Allen in the top three. I think this is a great year for Josh Allen. That's what's more likely, is he being in the top three. Maybe not even being. I think he may be the MVP. Ooh. He's always a candidate every single year. I think this is the year that Josh Allen, and we always have a show it year. Show me who you are. With no Stephon Diggs, with no Gabriel, right? They have a different offense, right? A different looking offense. A lot of younger players. I'm a big Keon Coleman fan, so I'm excited to see what he can do. I think Josh Allen puts this team on his back in a much different AFC East. Miami is going to be a little bit tougher, but it'd be those matchups against the New York Jets. National prime time against Aaron Rodgers. That's what we want to see. We want to see Allen versus Rodgers. And that's where I think he puts himself in that category of upper echelon quarterback in the league. We've already put him there, but I'm ready to see some wins. I'm ready to see this team win, get to a conference championship game again. This time, win, Josh Allen. That's what I'm saying. But I do fully believe he is a top three candidate in the MVP. We'll be saying at the end of the year with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. Remember, Arthur Smith is not trying to light the league on fire in terms of points. They just want to win games.
Yep.
So there may not be statistical warriors. They just want to win games. Toward Josh Allen on this one, what's more likely?
I like it, and I agree. These two teams are battling out this year. Who's more likely, this week, excuse me, who's more likely, guys, to be a surprise playoff team, Cardinals or Colts?
Oh, that's easy. That's Colts. That's easy.
Easy.
That's easy. That's very easy. Remember, you forget.
AFC is way much more difficult than the NFC.
Yeah, but I feel like last year's Colts team, they finished, what, 8-9? Or it might have been 9-8. They came all the way to, like, one game of getting to the playoffs. What's really changed with the Indianapolis Colts? Just they have a healthy quarterback now. I don't know, Gardner Minshew was the quarterback then, but I feel like
You have more faith in Anthony Richardson than Kyler Murray?
I do.
Really?
I do.
A guy who's played three games and hadn't finished any of them?
I believe in...
Then the number one overall pick and Heisman Trophy winner?
Jonathan Taylor. I believe in the defense they got in Liatu Latu. I believe in Josh Downs. I believe in the way that Shane Steichen has really brought this team together. I feel like Arizona is still a year away. Like, really? I mean, I don't want to put you on this spot. I don't.
Ooh.
Can you name three starters on the defense for the Cardinals?
Is he still there?
See, Chandler Jones been gone. Like, not named Buda Baker.
J.J. Watt, did he retire?
No, J.J. Watt, he gone. Remember, Isaiah Simmons got traded last year, too. Remember, by the way.
Yeah.
This is a good team, maybe offensively with Chuck James
Cecil.
Conner.
Is he still on the team?
Chuck Cecil. Nope, he's not there anymore. No, Patrick Peterson is not coming through that door. When I looked at the Arizona Cardinals, offensively,
they look great. I think they're great.
Kyler Murray, Marvin Harrison, Mike Wilson. You got that tight end, Trey McBride, who is underrated. Beast, James Conner. I saw him running. I was like, wait, who's that young guy? I was like, oh, that's James Conner. Dude looked like he was a rookie.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, okay, who's the defensive standouts? And I'm looking, I'm like, well, I got to keep looking at the roster.
Put their name on a piece of tape on the helmet.
Wait, who's that again? Who's 32? Okay, yeah, it was a roster day for me. That's my only holdup with the Arizona Cardinals.
Right, so
I just
think
there's more.
I'm
going more indie. Yeah.
Okay. All right, last one. For you, Kirk, former Oakland Raider great.
Yes.
Who's more likely to start more games at quarterback this year, Gardner Minshew or AOC?
Oh. Wow, you put me on the spot with my Raider Nation looking at it.
On the spot.
On the spot. Right now, currently, I'm going to say this. I think at the end of the day, wow, this is a tough one. I am going to lean that Gardner Minshew will start more games.
Ooh.
I think that's more likely. Gardner Minshew has the experience in this league, and at the end of the day, that's what takes over. Antonio Pierce, I think he's got a little rope there with the Raiders. He's got some time to build. He inherited these quarterbacks that maybe not his guys to start with. But if you have to work with these two, who's the one do you trust the most? I know who Gardner Minshew is. Just so happens that he's been at places where there's also some outstanding quarterbacks that have been in front of him. Whether it was his time in Jacksonville, he wasn't starting over Trevor Lawrence. Oh, wait. Maybe it was his time in Philadelphia. Nah, he's not starting over Jalen Hurts. Oh, maybe it was his time in Indianapolis. Well, the quarterback got hurt, and yet he still led this team to within one game of the playoffs. That experience tells me that if anything happens with AOC, Aiden O'Connell, Gardner Minshew is going to be the guy, at least for the majority of the season down the stretch, if Aiden O'Connell falters in the beginning of the season. I think Aiden will get the nod as the starter, which Antonio Pierce will probably name after this preseason game. But you said what's more likely? More likely is that Gardner Minshew starts more games than Aiden O'Connell.
Ooh, okay, I lied. Two more.
Okay, good. I love it.
They're playing each other this weekend. Big, big game. We talked about it. It's Stetson Bennett. It's Easton Stick. Los Angeles team more likely to contend for their division title, Rams or Chargers?
That's too easy. Again, easy.
Chargers, Jim Harbaugh.
No. No.
What do you mean? Rich said they're going 12-5.
It's going to be the Rams. They're a really good football team. And I'm not biased, so no, I just really look at, why do we discredit Matthew Stafford?
He's going to the Hall of Fame. I don't know. I just feel like
where's the Matthew Stafford slander comes from? I feel like, you know, Matthew Stafford last year made his second Pro Bowl in 16 seasons. His second. Well, that's the only. I feel like his career, had he played for any other team, would have been different. Oh. But he was stuck in the NFC North behind Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers dominated for so long that we just cover up many of the statistics for Matthew Stafford. I just only say this. I think Matthew Stafford and the Rams are a much better football team. They will contend more and possibly upset the 49ers. They actually went out and drafted players to be a little bit nastier, tougher, because that's the thing that they were missing out against the 49ers. When I look on the opposite side, the Chargers, who are they going to throw the ball to? Quentin Johnson, their number one pick of a year ago, has struggled.
Struggled.
Keenan Allen, saw him catch a touchdown from Caleb Williams.
He gone. Josh Palmer.
Yeah. Rich loves Mike Williams. Mike Williams, former Charger, he's over there now with the Jets. Tight end Gerald Everett, he's no longer there. Who they got on offense? Like, to me, that scares you right now. I remember I asked you the question about who's the starting defensive players for the Cardinals. Who's the starting wide receivers? Are we really going to put all our stock in Ladd McConkey?
Ladd.
He's a lad, but man, that's a lot putting on him and a quarterback who just got out of a boot. So what's more likely? I'm going to say it's the Rams.
By the way, two more seasons, Matthew Stafford will be top five career passing yards.
It'll be a strong discussion. I mean, Calvin Johnson's in the Hall of Fame, and a lot of those yards he got were from the arm of Matthew Stafford.
Well, he's for sure making the Hall of Fame, yeah. Matthew Stafford. All right, okay. Last one. I watched this guy ball out in the Olympics, TJ, and you know, I don't even want to say it. Is France going to win the gold medal in 2028 here in LA in basketball? Number one overall pick to win an MVP first, Caleb Williams or Wemby?
Wow.
Victor Wembanyama.
Yeah, that's a good one. What's more likely? And I got a bonus one for you, too.
Love it.
Let's see here. I'm going to go with...
I'm high on Caleb Williams, in case you guys haven't
wondered. I'm very high on Caleb Williams, too.
Like Caleb Williams plus, like TJ plus.
I would go Victor Wembanyama before Caleb Williams. I just think that there is a lot that goes into that award. There's a lot of quarterbacks in the National Football League who are very deserving. He's got to beat out Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts. Like, just think about the quarterbacks. Even Brock Purdy was last year out of nowhere, was up for
Dak was MVP. Runner up last
Dak,
year.
Dak Prescott as well. I think it's a little bit tougher in that scenario. The NBA is more, they feed off of storylines, right? Like, come on, man. Like, if Victor Wembanyama brings the Spurs to the playoffs or the second round, and I know the voting is done before that, but it's a great story. And I think that he can be the MVP a lot sooner than Caleb Williams. All right. I got one for
there you
y'all.
Go. That's more likely.
I got
Bonus one.
Can you need one more?
Yeah, one more.
All right, we'll get one more.
I saw this, and this is what's going on around the Twitter sphere, the X sphere, the internet. What's more likely? Or I guess say, who's more likely to win? Noah Lyles or Tyreek Hill in a 60, not 100 meters. What would you pay to see Noah Lyles take on Tyreek Hill in the 60? Not a 100,
yes,
but a 60.
TJ, this is an easy one. Give me the cheetah all day, baby.
Cheetah! Tyreek Hill versus Noah Lyles, the gold medal winner in this past Olympics.
I saw Noah Lyles start in a couple of these races.
Right.
Not great. Last place.
That's why we said 60.
Give me the cheetah, TJ.
I think the 60 is a great middle ground for both of these. Right?
I don't know, man.
If it was 100, I'm going Lyles. We're going 60. I've seen Cheetah in the 60. I've seen Tyreek Hill in the 60. Who's more likely to win?
Which, you know, I want to watch it. In theory, the fastest man alive, he won the 100, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He won the 100.
Won the 100.
I know, so I'm
this
just
is
saying,
60,
like,
baby.
I don't know, man. It's going to be tough to go against the fastest man on Earth.
The disrespect is real.
I ain't never going to disrespect the cheetah.
No, you know, disrespecting the cheetah.
I don't know, but guess what? If that race is run, I'm going to be watching it.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to be locked in.
You know what?
Why is Noah Lyles, okay, yeah, look, USA, Mr. Great, hooray, hooray. Yeah. Why is he picking all these beefs with NBA and NFL stars? What is he doing?
I'm gonna get Kendrick Lamar on him.
Just he wants to get
him. Why was he starting?
You don't
want to
get him involved.
I didn't want to go to an Aunt Edward's shoe party. What is wrong with you?
But he claimed that wasn't true, though. Okay. He said he came out after that story came out and said that is not what
happened. We're all on the same team.
We're all on the same team. But he's just picking beefs. That
come
you
on
don't
now.
Know. I do got a question though. We keep talking about Tyreek Hill and his speed. I can't wait to ask his teammate. Because Tyreek Hill may not be the fastest dolphin, because of the guy coming up next may be the fastest dolphin, Raheem Mostert. We'll get a chance to talk to him right here, coming up next on the Rich Eisen Show with Kirk Morrison filling in for Rich.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle. You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better, because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service? They'll help you there and find the right part, or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The Rich Eisen Show is sponsored by Grainger. Does this sound familiar? You're a maintenance specialist and you've been squaring off with a leaky radiator at your facility for hours. You're both drenched in sweat. You've thrown the whole playbook at it, but so far it's got an answer for everything. What you need is a teammate. A pro who's seen it all before, and that's Grainger. With support specialists always ready to chat, the product you need, plus a million more, just give this ringer a ring. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by one of their local branches.
These are my three favorite coaching cliches. I'd love to see a press conference where you nail all three of them within one press conference.
We double down, and what if I can pull it off in my next press conference in Indianapolis?
This is exactly what we're talking about. Yes, sir.
So, all right.
Ready for them? Here you go. This is number one. I don't have a crystal ball, guys. Okay? Like, that's what you said. I don't have a crystal ball. It's easy. It's whenever somebody asks you to predict the future. Like, for instance, how aggressive are you going to be in free agency? Then you say what?
Well, you see? I mean, if I had... I don't have a crystal ball.
Right.
But, you know, as aggressive as... is what's best for the organization.
Very good. That's a good one. Very good. Okay. Here's another one. It's as simple. You're going to nail this. It is what it is. It is what it is, guys. It is what it is, ladies. It is what it is, folks. You know, like, whatever you want to just throw it out there, it is what it is. That's another one.
Okay.
And then the third one is, I'm only talking about the guys that are here. That's it. I'm only talking about the guys here.
Well, so. I'm gonna triple down and say, what if I can do that all in the same statement in my indie press conference?
Yes, Mike McDaniel,
instant legend.
Yes.
My only request is when I do it.
Yes.
Mid press conference.
Yes.
Can we? I wanna sprint up to the stage, high five.
Let's not forget, like, it is what it is. You know, I honestly. Me personally, I don't have a crystal ball, you know, but really the only guys I can talk about are the players that are here today.
Yes, excuse me.
Pardon me.
Oh, hey, didn't see ya.
Attaboy.
Boom!
Attaboy. Triple play.
Oh. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Kirk Morrison filling in for Rich. I'm here, as always, at the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network studio. And I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you, so call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Raheem Mostert, running back for the Miami Dolphins, joining us shortly as we get ready for last couple weeks of preseason. So we got preseason week number two, preseason week number three, and then obviously the final cutdown days are happening. But then week zero is coming up. You know what week zero is? I still don't know why they call it week zero. It's the unofficial opener of college football, August 24th.
That's right.
The official weekend start, or official Saturday for college football, is August 31st. I cannot wait. It is going to be – I love the NFL. The NFL is great. It's the highest level of competition when it comes to organized football. But, man, the pageantry of college football is Del Tufo. Like, there's this
– I agree.
There's this – I can't – I don't know if I can express the feelings for me. And like I said, I'm lucky enough to be a broadcaster for ESPN, for college football, and to get in that car and drive up to a stadium on Saturday game day, it is fun. I'm not gonna lie. The bands, the fans, people out,
the tailgating.
It's a true tailgate experience.
Is. Yeah.
It's the true traditions.
Yeah.
And I walk around the field, and the one thing, and this is where people always say, what's the difference between NFL and college? It's not necessarily a pageantry, but like game day. Well, in the NFL, I'll be honest with you, it is sometimes business-like. Yeah. It is about business. It's corporate. College football is pure fun. It is pure enjoyment. I mean, these kids are I know there's NIL, there's transfer portal, there's all of that, but I still feel like the kids are doing it because they love to do it. It's more about the name on the front than a name on the back. And then when they said it, when you get to the NFL, it's more about the name on the back than it is the name on the front. That's just kind of what it is. But
makes sense.
I enjoy that pageantry of being able to watch. I mean, I just thought they were songs. I had no idea, like, oh, that's the Notre Dame fight song. I just thought that was like a real song, like people just saying. Or when Michigan, like, hail to, I'm still singing that, like, oh, wait, that is their alma mater. But it just, for me, is something that is just kind of like second nature to start singing, because it brings back college football. So I've been playing a ton of the college football 25 game on PlayStation. I'm not playing against people, okay? So I'm not online. I'm not one of those online gamers. I've got buddies of mine who are in their seventh season and they've won the Heisman Trophy 7 years in a row now. But that's the part of the pageantry of college football that I've been excited that we'll have coming up in a few short weeks. Do you watch a ton of college football? Brockman, TJ?
I'm in a big college football house. Sarah's a huge Georgia Bulldog.
Go Dogs.
So Saturday.
Go Dogs.
Saturday's a big day.
Go Dogs.
Big day in our house.
Between the hedges.
Yeah.
Okay.
Saturday, 9 o'clock is all dogs all the time.
TJ, do you watch college football? I know you're an NFL guy.
I'm not as invested, honestly, in the college game as I once was. Mm. And I think that's, you know, these guys always laugh because I say I like multiple
When you say
teams.
Invested, were you like an NIL donor? I mean, invested as an.
No, it's a vocabulary and using words.
I understand. I'm teasing.
Yeah, man, it's like, you know, because I root for various teams. You know, I grew up in the middle of Pennsylvania, so I grew up a Penn State and Pitt fan. But also, I pay attention to Florida State. You know, and so, but honestly,
have you been to a Penn State game?
I believe it or not, I've never been to a Penn State.
You gotta go.
I've been to Pitt
game. Never
been
to
a Florida State game. I've never
been to a Whiteout game.
Never been. Nope.
I've done one game at Penn State. It was great. Happy Valley. It was cool.
Just it's an incredible atmosphere.
Man. Yeah.
It is in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah,
by the way, it's not like you're in like this big, huge city and you're just driving. I remember we're driving up to the stadium and then it just comes out and like pops up like boom, like
it's
whoa,
there, like boom.
And then you walk in and like the booths is just like old school
it's
football.
Old school.
Like, yeah. It is like the traditional 1900s, 1930s, all that football kind of part that you remember what football, I guess, what started.
Yeah.
They haven't done the renovations yet. They probably will. But it was a cool atmosphere. Yeah. everybody dressed out in the all whites. Yeah. And I just so happened was I was there in the game that I did. There was this freshman running back, number 26, by the name of Saquon Barkley. Mm. And you only need to see a couple plays. And you're like, that dude is different. That's an NFL player. And it was the same thing when I saw this one kid that played at Purdue in the old gold and black by the name of Raheem Mostert. I said, oh, he's playing at a different speed. And the different speed joins us right now on the Rich Eisen Show. Raheem Mostert, running back of the Miami Dolphins, joining us on behalf of Fanatics. And I want to get right to this, Raheem, because on Friday, August 30th, College Colors Day, the 20th anniversary to help kick off the beginning of the college football season. And I can, for the listeners, you can't see it, but for our viewers, you already got the old gold and black on right now. You got those Purdue Boilermakers shirt on as the Purdue Boilermakers will take on August 31st. They'll take on the Indiana State, the Sycamores. But tell me about the Colors Day and how much pride you have in wearing that old gold and black of Purdue.
Yeah, you know, Colors Day, man, is very important, especially when, you know, I went to Purdue. I graduated in 2015, and I always felt like black and gold was a statement. And representing these colors, man, it means a lot, you know, especially College Colors Day. I mean, it's going to be an unbelievable time. It's the 20th anniversary, which is outstanding, right? And you get to show your school spirit. So it's just awesome, man, to go back. And, you know, I'm in year 10 in my career in the NFL. And, man, I always go back to the old gold and black. You know, that's what helped kick off my journey. So,
well, shout out to Fanatics. They delivered my San Diego State gear as the red and black attack. We get ready. We got our game coming up week one. But we got Texas A&M Commerce, man. We better win. You know what I mean? But for you, though, when you think about the college colors, you think about your college career and your NFL career. You played in a Super Bowl before. You set the Dolphins record for touchdowns, Raheem, mm-hmm. man. It's crazy to think how your career has gone and where it's at right now currently in the season that is approaching for you. Just how would you describe this journey for you?
You know, it was definitely hard at the beginning, you know, coming in undrafted and, you know, being cut so many different times, it almost takes a toll on you. But, you know, one thing that I had to stick to myself was, hey, look, I got to keep reminding myself that, you know, I could be something someday. And an outstanding football player was definitely one of my top choices. And I mean, going back to Purdue days, you know, I didn't have the best experience football wise because we had, you know, different coaching changes and stuff like that. But I made the most out of my opportunities there, and it just led me to where I'm at today, you know, in the NFL.
You know, it's been quiet in Miami now that Tua got the deal done. It hasn't been a lot. Jalen got a deal done. I know you had an extension before as well. So it just seems like we're talking about football. And the Miami Dolphins, you guys made the playoffs last year. What's been the mindset or the talk amongst the players during this training camp as you get ready for the season?
Well, one big emphasis that we focus on this year is the 20 mark, you know, 20 plus. We haven't had a winning playoff game in 20 plus years, and that's something that we're trying to do this year. We're trying to break that mold. And, you know, once you have that playoff game and that playoff run, I mean, sky's the limit. You can get into the Super Bowl. So understanding what we have to do in order to get that done, and taking each day by day, step by step, to get better as a unit, as a team. You know, it's just going to help us towards the end of the year. And also health. Health is a huge, huge attribute in making that playoff run. So if everyone's staying healthy and doing the proper things that they need to do, we'll make a run at it.
We're talking with Raheem Mostert, the running back for the Miami Dolphins, joining the Rich Eisen Show. Kirk Morrison filling in for Rich. He's joining us on behalf of Fanatics. As they did last year, Fanatics will be offering 25% off on all orders with the code CCD24 on Friday, August 30th for College Colors Day, coming up August 30th. Raheem, we had a conversation here about if Noah Lyles took on Tyreek Hill in the 60. And I keep saying, well, what if we also talked about Raheem Mostert in that conversation as well? I want to start with question one. Who is the fastest Miami Dolphin right now currently?
I mean, currently, it's a toss-up right now. I'm not even going to lie to you. You got myself. You got, you know, Jalen Waddle, Jalen Wright now, rookie coming in, rookie running back, Devon Achane, who's also fast as well. I mean, Ethan Bonner, we can throw him in there too because he's been running some top speeds in practice. So, honestly, it's a toss-up. It's any given day, it seems like. Anybody can win. So, I'm going to leave it at that.
How do you settle that, though? Because at some point, you got to have the trophy within the Miami Dolphins locker room. Have you guys set that matchup up? Do I need to call head coach Mike McNay to see who is the fastest Dolphin?
Yeah, well, we actually do GPS tracking and speed tracking throughout the practice. And what Coach McDaniel does, he, right before every team meeting, or, you know, try to get his emphasis out of what the message is that day, he'll put up on the board the fastest Dolphins from the days prior and their top speed. And majority of the time, it's a lot of guys that, you know, they're running. But, man, you see, you know, it's a stagnant names all the time. Me, Devon, Waddle, Reek, Ethan. I mean, it's just a plethora of guys. I mean, we even do some of the O linemen and D linemen as well. You know, we call them heavy guys that run too. So we're tracking everything.
You know, Raheem, you had a chance to watch Tua Tagovailoa in the early parts of his career. Now he got the extension, the big contract. What do you see from your quarterback every single day that maybe us on the outside don't get a chance to see, and how deserving he is of this contract?
I mean, you know, something that I see is his mentorship. I feel like, you know, him coming in and understanding what he has to do, and he wants to lead by example. You know, that's something that he takes into account each and every day. But him being a mentor out there on the field for every position, you know, not only just the running backs and receivers, but tight ends and O-linemen, you know, he's trying to communicate with everyone. He's trying to show everyone that he is the man. And to us, he is the man. Like, he's the guy that we feel like, you know, we're going to win a lot of games with. And also the organization. You see what they did this year with paying him. I mean, it's rightfully so. The guy just comes in and he doesn't complain. He doesn't argue. He doesn't do any of that stuff. He just wants to come in and get to work and become better.
Just a couple more minutes here with Miami Dolphins running back Raheem Mostert. 9 years in the National Football League. You mentioned it, undrafted back in 2015. 9 years. And finally, you can attach Pro Bowl to the side of your name. Last year, being selected to the Pro Bowl, playing in that, what was that honor? What did that mean to you?
It meant a lot, you know, especially being from Florida. My hometown is literally 45 minutes from where we were actually hosting the Pro Bowl out in Orlando. And it just took me back to being a kid, you know, just watching the Pro Bowl and being a huge fan of the Pro Bowl. And now that it's in Orlando, me growing up, man, it really just took me back. And it felt like, you know, finally, it finally happened for me. And, you know, I just want to continue that mark. I want to continue to be a Pro Bowler. I'm going to try my best each and every year. And, you know, it's just something that I really take pride in. So
I know one thing you also take pride in is your durability. And more importantly, there's a number also, like I said, that's attached to Raheem Mostert, is the age of 32. And yet in the NFL, people say, oh, he's an older back. But I'm like, he's faster than the younger dude. Why do we keep saying that? Oh, once you hit 30 in the NFL, you're in the stone age. But what do you tell those people, those critics who say, hey, the running back position is outdated once you get above age 30?
Yeah, well, statistically, I mean, it kind of is a proven statistic. But, you know, I feel like every statistic, there's always an outlier. And I'm just that outlier for that statistic. And, you know, I'm just going to handle business every time I go out there on the field. And, you know, I could show you better than I could explain to you. That's just how I see it.
Absolutely, man. On Friday, August 30th, College Colors Day, back for its 20th anniversary, Raheem Mostert will have the old gold and black on of Purdue University, representing those Boilermakers. Hey, Raheem, man, best of luck to you this season. Congrats on all the success, the Pro Bowl last year. And hopefully the Dolphins can get that playoff win, right? You said 20. Hopefully they can get past 20 games this season. Man, best of luck, Raheem.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Hail Purdue.
Hail Purdue, indeed. Fanatics, again, we'll be offering 25% off all orders with the code CCD24 on Friday, August 30th. Shout out Fanatics. I got my San Diego State gear on. Make sure y'all get to the front. You know what I'm saying? That red and black, baby.
Look at that.
We back. We back. There you go. Red and black.
Look at you. Nice.
Texas A&M Commerce. Be ready. Week number one. All right. We wrap things up here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Let's talk about Sleep Number, people. We all know in the NFL there's no margin for error. A single mistake can change the outcome of a game. We all know that. And proven quality sleep, yeah, believe it or not, can boost reaction time, recovery time, and overall performance. You know that probably in your real life. The same thing goes in the National Football League, which is why Sleep Number is, in fact, the sleep and wellness partner of the National Football League. Partnering since 2018, 8 out of 10 players have a Sleep Number smart bed. You should too. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70, just 10 numbers apart, but it is the world of difference because being able to adjust your bed's firmness after working out for recovery, that is game changing. So right now, during Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year, you can save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed plus special financing for a limited time only at a Sleep Number store, or you can go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number is the official sleep and wellness partner of the National Football League. See store for details.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
We see money inefficiency, OG, around us all the time. We've got a few skeletons sitting out in the open, and maybe we need to broom them into the closet, if you know what I mean.
Nope, take that out.
What is...
Whatever you were going for didn't land right. Who's got a shovel and some lime?
Maybe you need to do that with your financial picture. I don't know.
Find out more by searching the Stacking Benjamins podcast, wherever you listen.
Rockman, just out of the blue. Where were you when you sent this tweet, Chris?
Oh, I mean, was that on a Sunday? Was it a Sunday night?
Don't remember.
I was probably just at home.
And you just said, you
watching
know what?
The games.
If the Eagles make the playoffs, I'll take
Might
a bite out of Mike
myself.
Del Tufo's yeah. hat. You yeah. said, I will take a bite out of Mike Del Tufo's hat?
Yeah.
Eagles have made the playoffs, and you have avoided the inevitable for a week. That ends now. I just sliced up a 1-inch by 1-inch cutout of Mike Del Tufo's Callaway hat, and I placed it like little Easter eggs into the right. half of a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Yep.
Take a bite. Ugh, here we go. Here you go. Brockman is taking a bite. Did you get a piece of the hat there?
Oh,
I
yeah.
think you did.
Oh, yeah.
You're the one who chose the peanut butter, too.
Trash can nearby?
Nope. Nope. We don't.
It's part of the hat sticking out. I didn't get it off.
Oh, that is that is an awful piece right there in that,
like,
in that sandwich. No, you may not. As long as you eat it.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Ugh.
Keep going. I didn't go through.
Oh, man. This piece is like right on my tooth.
Why did you even do this, Chris? You didn't have to. You took the McLovin
bait. Because the Eagles stink.
You took
They're
the McLovin
terrible.
Bait. Oh, my God.
That was Sunday.
Radio audience, I can't even tell if that's a piece of glistening jelly or a piece of a glistening jelly glistened right Del there. Tufo hat piece. Down it. Just, I feel like I'm talking to Taylor eating her broccoli. Just eat it and we'll get off your case. Oh, he just went one bite. He finished it. This is not going to be good. Because that is peanut butter, and it is jelly, and it is Del Tufo hat, and you just jammed literally 3 inches by 3 inch piece of sandwich.
It was a proud day for my future son.
Oh, my God.
Wrapping things up here on the Rich Eisen Show on this Friday edition, getting ready for the weekend. An NFL preseason weekend, Little League World Series going on, FedEx Cup going on, baseball's going on, pennant races heating up. But last night I was scouring the net. I saw some news, and I don't know if I was like going to confirm it or not confirm it. And then I got the text from Chris Brockman, and it was
right,
like,
I see.
It was real. I don't know how I feel about this. I am a big sports biopic guy. I love them. I loved watching them because obviously they tell a story, but more importantly, sometimes it's the actor that almost makes you feel like that's the person, right? I kind of laugh because everyone always says that the story of Rudy Rudiger is not really real. Like, real. Rudy really was
the Joe gospel. Montana, it was Joe Montana has done a great job disparaging Rudy.
It's real.
In all of his interviews.
It's real.
But
the character.
You can't tell me that the Rudy, the character, was just everything about the movie, the film, was like real. Like, I almost take it as like word for word, like scene for scene. It
he
was
water in the lawn.
And then someone said that so Rudy was offsides on the like,
No, I'm very pro Rudy. Rick's roots for Rudy to get hurt every time he watches
the movie. The
movie.
So I laugh about that all the time, but I love those sports movies. But yesterday we caught wind, got word that Nicolas Cage will play John Madden in the David Russell biopic of Madden.
I kind of see it a little bit.
I can see it a little bit.
I mean,
they'll definitely
dye.
He'll have to dye the hair a little bit because, you know, blonde John Madden, Nicolas Cage. I think the hard part for me is that can he pull off the voice?
The voice. The voice.
Can he pull off the energy, the enthusiasm, right? I was watching some clips yesterday because when obviously now when you Google, you know, John Madden, things pop up and there was one where John Madden was defending his take on Tom Brady as being the next Joe Montana. He said, like, he's got Joe Montana characteristics. And people back then were like, they didn't have Twitter back then.
Oh, man.
People were like, what is he talking about? He's out of his mind. And he realized, like, John Madden saw something.
Yep.
So this is, to me, it'd be difficult to see or understand or hear. Will he have the mannerisms of John Madden? You want it to be done correctly. But I'm excited about it. I think that for me, I always loved John Madden. I'm a big John Madden fan. He was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2006. That was the Hall of Fame game that I played in.
Oh, so, did you really? That was my first one I did.
Look up the 2006.
Not about you, Mike.
Yeah. I know. I'm just saying. I was there.
Mike,
that's
I want
cool.
you.
I never knew that.
Look up the 2006 inductees into the Pro Football Hall of Fame that year. It was John Madden, Troy Aikman, I believe, Warren Moon.
Yeah.
And so if you notice the players in the Hall of Fame game, I think we line up on the 45.
Reggie White, Harry Carson, John Madden, Warren Moon, Troy Aikman.
So we're on each 45. Bright. We're playing against the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm with the Raiders.
I'm going to be the best and class so ever.
They're on the 45. We're on the opposite 45. And the enshrinees, who are the newly inducted guys, walk through the center of the field down the 50-yard line. And I'm sitting here watching playing cards walk right in front of me. Like, I'm watching Troy Aikman. Oh, that's Troy Aikman. That's Warren Moon, who actually was one of was my agent, too, growing up. I mean, when I was going to the NFL. So he was partners with my agent. So I knew Warren, but just to see him and realize these dudes are in the Hall of Fame. Now, Reggie White couldn't be there, obviously, but just to think about that class and what he meant to the NFL. And then John Madden taught how many young kids football? Like, I don't think people realize what John Madden did. John Madden taught football before any coach could, before my dad could. You learn football through Madden. And I hope that this biopic really shows the impact that John Madden has, not just on football, but just the world in general. I mean, John Madden on Thanksgiving, like, you wanted to be at his dinner table because you know the turducken. You knew it was going to be fun. So there's a lot in this biopic. I hope that they do it right. That's my only thing. So, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be good.
Okay.
Also, real quick, this weekend, Rich and I are going to be at Fanatics Fest in New York City at
Fanatics
the Javits
Fest.
Center.
Okay.
If you are in New York City, we're recording a live edition of the Overreaction Monday podcast. Tomorrow, 4:00 Eastern, if you're in New York, come by the Fanatics Fest. It's going to be amazing, and I'm going to say a lot of stupid things that I don't really mean, but it's football, and we're back. Really looking forward to it. We'll be on Instagram, kind of going live a bunch of times, so hopefully you guys can come check it out.
Yeah.
Is Drewski going to be there?
Probably. Him and Tom Brady are everywhere.
It's going to be
Tom
everybody.
Tom Brady and Michael Rubin are just all over the place.
It is everywhere, man. Michael Rubin, I see him all going through, doing the car wash and getting everybody all excited. So,
super psyched. It looks insane. I can't wait to show up. So if you see us in New York, Come say what's up.
If you can find a way to give me the invite to the Super Bowl party, kind of maybe drop my name, find give me a name, a number, a list, something.
You want the white party on 4th of July?
I want to go. To the white party. Super Bowl, 4th of July. Man, TJ, Brockman, Del Tufo, myself, Mike Bowie, everybody in the back, man. This has been the Rich Eisen Show. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Tucker Carlson, what is it that you think that people gravitate towards?
I'm not self-aware. I refuse to be self-aware. I don't even look in mirrors at all, which you can probably tell from my appearance. I don't have a crazy high IQ, or I really don't have that many skills. I would say my main skill is I believe my instincts. I don't hesitate to follow my instincts, ever. The extent that I have, I've gotten in trouble.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.